This week's episode is made possible by our friends at Independent Bank. You can learn more about them at i-bankonline.com.
Good morning, Memphis. You're listening to Meanwhile in Memphis on WYXR Radio 91.7 FM. Meanwhile in Memphis is a program dedicated to conversations that celebrate the organizations, initiatives, and people that are shaping Memphis for the better. The Meanwhile in Memphis radio show and podcast are brought to you by New Memphis, a nonprofit organization whose mission is to develop, activate, and retain the city's most important resource, its people. Your hosts today are me, Rebecca Hamm, and my colleague, Anna Thompson.
Good morning, Memphis. Before we get started, we wanted to share a few upcoming events that we have going on at New Memphis. You can always stay up to date on happenings at newmemphis.org/events. Educators, this is the time to turn up that dial because next week, New Memphis is showing our love during Teacher Appreciation Week with Instagram giveaways and much, much more. There will also be a Teacher's Lounge event for any and all Mid-South educators to join in on cocktails, collaboration, and conversations. That will be on May 7th. You can learn more about New Memphis's educator engagement work at newmemphis.org, and there's a bright red educator engagement tab right there at the top.
Speaking of education, we are digging into one of the most beautiful ways to play and learn in one of our city's most exciting assets, our not-so-secret garden, the Memphis Botanic Gardens. Joining us today to talk about the exciting programs, activities, and amenities at this community treasure are Jenna Harris, Director of Education and Events, and Olivia Wall, Director of Marketing for Memphis Botanic Gardens. Jenna is a native Memphian who has had a love of nature and the outdoors from a young age and has been with Memphis Botanic Garden for over 30 years. She previously led summer camps and youth education as a part-time instructor and has worked her way up to be leading that programming. Jenna has served as the Tennessee Environmental Education Association board member and was a 2023 recipient of the Garden Club of America's Elizabeth Abernathy Hull Award.
Olivia Wall is a passionate and dedicated nonprofit professional who was recently named to Memphis Business Journal's Class of 2024 40 Under 40. She has previously worked at Memphis College of Art and taught at the University of Memphis and Southwest Tennessee Community College. She holds a BA with the highest honors from Smith College, an MFA from Memphis College of Art, and an MA from the University of Memphis. She also serves as the president and development chair for the Cooper Young Community Association and is on the Smith College Class of 2009 leadership team. Without further ado, let's dig in with Jenna and Olivia. Good morning, Jenna and Olivia. How are y'all this morning?
Good morning. We're good.
Good morning. Doing great.
Good. I love the bright colors in the studio, too. So fun and flowery and floral. So
Spring.
Yes.
Got to bring the garden
exactly. To you.
Exactly.
Thematically appropriate.
It is. We appreciate it. So we wanted to get started by having each of you introduce yourself and tell the listeners a little bit about what led you to Memphis Botanic Gardens. So, Olivia, we can start with you.
I'm Olivia. I'm the Director of Marketing for the Memphis Botanic Garden. Which means I wear a lot of hats, I do a lot of things, and most importantly, what I want to do is spread the word about what we're doing, how we're serving our mission, how we're serving our community, and that's really integral to my day-to-day and how I, you know, best operate and make, you know, the garden a community asset.
And Jenna, what about you?
Yeah, so I've been at the garden for quite a while now, started there teaching summer camps, and I've always just loved being outdoors and kind of sharing that love with other people. And so doing that through summer camps and then moving into more of the education role and then events. And now I work with traveling exhibits as well. So just doing things to try and kind of activate the garden and make it a fun place where everybody can come. Even if you're not like a super plant geek and you want to get in there and see all the beautiful flowers, there's going to be something there for you to experience and explore.
Love that. Is there a specific mission statement or vision for your organization?
Yeah, so the mission of the garden is to be a regional source of horticulture and horticultural excellence for Memphis and for our region.
Yeah, what we really want to do is connect folks with nature. We want them to appreciate nature in all aspects. Like Jenna said, it is very much, it's not You don't have to be a plant geek to come to the garden and enjoy the garden. You can come out and enjoy an extended hours and get some dinner at a food truck and just wander around. You can just stop and just sit at a bench and listen to nature around you right in the heart of the city.
It's a tremendous asset for, like you said, right in the heart of the city, Olivia. I'm curious, Jenna, what was so special about teaching summer camps that you kind of got bit by the bug, as it were, and just wanted to stay and keep adding things to your repertoire?
Well, you know, I think just as a child of the 80s, we were kicked outside.
Yeah.
And that's where we spent our time. And honestly, it was just my favorite place was to be outside in nature, enjoying everything around and kind of exploring and kind of learning as you were exploring, which was so fun to me. And I was lucky that I had a lot of people around me that kind of helped with that, you know, just kind of those moments out in nature where you would learn, oh, this is what that plant is for. This is what it's used for. And so to turn around and get to do that for other kids, and especially a lot of the kids in Memphis who don't necessarily have those wild spaces around them and don't have, you know, a big outdoor space that they get to explore. Some of our summer camps that we did were programs with, underserved youth that could come in. And maybe this was the first time that they've been in a woodland. Our woodland is a 4-acre woodland. It's not a huge space, but for somebody who's never been in the woods before to go in and understand that, no, there's not a lot of bears and wolves that are about to come out of these woods, but look at all the amazing things that are in here that you get to use and that we use on a daily basis. And so getting to kind of just introduce kids to that and try and make it fun for them and something that hopefully now, if what's really fun, some of the kids that I used to teach in summer camps and some of these programs are bringing their kids to the garden now. So that's so fun for me to see that, you know, maybe there was something that sparked in them a love for nature and now they're bringing their kids. So it's kind of that generational love that really is special to me.
And I think that generational love is something that is so ingrained in every aspect of the gardens. And I'd love for us to talk through kind of what the gardens are. It is not just a bunch of flowers planted in rows. For someone who has never been, there are elements for children. There are elements for folks who are horticulturists. Like, what does that blend of space look like for our community?
Yeah, absolutely. So we have 96-acre grounds, as we said, in the heart of the city. But within that, there's 30 specialty gardens. And so you do have the things that are a little bit more horticulturally minded, everything from our formal gardens, the iris gardens and the rose garden. But also we have our urban home garden, which is a demonstration garden. And so that's designed for folks that live in Memphis, live in the region, to come in and get ideas for their own space. Everything from small space vegetable gardening to different types of concrete or stone pathways you could put in your own place. There's a chicken coop down there, too.
Ooh.
Which is a favorite among the kids. But we also have, for the kids, we have our 2.5-acre family garden, My Big Backyard, which is just a gem. Think of it as like a natural outdoor playground that folks can come and enjoy the day. They can run and splash and play and really explore the possibilities of imagination and what nature has to offer for kids. Some of our newer spaces are our Arboretum, which also has a small play area and classroom areas. And what else am I forgetting, Jenna?
Well, like Olivia was saying, there's, you know, all of these different areas that have been activated and that we've added to. So the Arboretum is not necessarily a new space, but it was a space that before didn't really look like it was meant for visitors to go into. The kids liked it because it was this wild space and just trees everywhere. But now we've included pathways that go through and these very specialized pocket meadows that we have one that is specific to monarchs. So it has the different flowers that you need for the monarch in its caterpillar stage and the butterfly stage. We have a goldfinch meadows that grows the plants that the goldfinch will need for building its nest as well as food sources for the goldfinch. So these beautiful spaces that we've added in that just really kind of complement everything within the garden. We've tried to make it to where you have something to look at throughout the whole 96 acres of the garden. So you can stroll and enjoy the peace, but you're going to come upon this amazing space as you go through the pathways.
I feel like that was my own little adventure. One of the first maybe dozen times I went, I had been strictly like my big backyard as a parent. I was like, this is my home base. This is my stomping grounds. And I'd been there many times as an event venue, whether it was for the summer music series or for weddings or specialty events. But we went with a family member and she was like, I really enjoy just walking. And we went for a walk and I swear it was like every 10 feet. I was like, I didn't know this was here. I didn't know that was here. And it was just like this great adventure to get to just see, to your point, right in the heart of the city. It's just a hop, skip and a jump from really anywhere.
Yeah, it really is. And you brought up a good point. Like what we hadn't mentioned, we mentioned a lot about our big outdoor spaces with beautiful plants and flowers, but we also have our Radiance Amphitheater in the back, which is home to Live at the Garden. And I'd also Mantha Fest. And we also have some really awesome event venues on property. And, you know, it's countless how many folks got married there, got engaged there, celebrate their anniversary there, had their big milestone birthday parties there. And all of those things kind of come together to really create what a unique and wonderful space it really is.
So you can roam on your own, engage with the spaces, kind of learn along the pathways as you're out in the garden. But folks can also come and engage with programs and educational opportunities at kind of any age at the gardens. And I was reading about your tropical plant house. Can you talk to us a little bit about that?
Yeah, we are super excited to be able to open the Youth Education and Tropical Plant House to the community. It houses plants from five continents, which is pretty exciting, including wow. plants that you might think about, but you don't really understand that they actually exist, like chocolate trees and, you know, how pineapples grow and all these exotic and wonderful palm trees and bromeliads and things that most folks will never experience in their life. We can now open those doors and that, you know, space to Mantheans and to folks in the Mid-South to wander through a jungle. It's going to be really incredible once it opens this Friday.
Yeah. So one of our educational programs that's been popular for 20 plus years is our tropical class, our jungle class, where we talk to kids not only about, you know, the different products that come from the jungle, but, you know, why it's important to conserve these spaces and also how is that important to us and how does it translate into taking care of our own space? So we have a woodland. It doesn't look exactly like the jungle, but it does a lot of the same things, the products that we get from our woodland compared to the products that we get from the jungle. So being able to have this new space that's directly off of the visitor center, our previous tropical collection was in a small greenhouse that was kind of a long walk from the building, and it was only open for our educational programs. Now we're going to have this fantastic glass house, the only one in our region, and it's going to be able to be open not only for the educational programs, but also for the general public. So everybody is going to get an opportunity to go through and, like Olivia said, learn about some of these plants that you might not ever see anywhere else. We've got some fantastic horticulturists that have been really researching and going around finding the right kinds of plants that are going to work well in our space and be able to lend themselves for our educational programs for the kids.
So how does something like this come to be? I'm so intrigued by this. Like, how do you even come about sourcing something like a chocolate tree and things like that?
The chocolate tree's been a challenge, but we finally got it. So
I mean, I'm sure it takes many months, many years, many individuals coming together, that collaboration piece to make what was, I'm sure, a big dream into a reality.
Yeah. So if you've been to the garden in the last 30 years, you might have seen the original tropical plant collection is where our visitor center is now. So when you come into the Botanic Garden to pay your admission and come right here, in the middle of it, that is where our tropical plants were housed until 1996. And then that's when we broke ground, 95 actually, we broke ground on Hardin Hall. And so all of those plants had to be moved out. That's when they were moved to that small little tropical house that we had on the backside of the garden. So the tropical plant collection has really been something that's part of the history of the garden. And it never went away. It just wasn't really highlighted as much as
as we're going to be able to do now. And if you've been to other botanic gardens around the country, glass houses are a big part of those. They're also a really expensive part of those.
Yeah.
So, you know, over time, the garden was very mindful in kind of creating a space for Memphis, and but doing it in a way that the garden could sustain. And so when we kind of started adding on different areas to the garden, when we built the big backyard, we built the big backyard to be able to serve the community in the way that the community needed to be served at the time. We didn't have a space that was dedicated to families and to children. And so since we've done that, it's really grown our membership base. So now, you know, since we've been able to grow that membership base, it kind of turns around and it leads itself into us being able to do more for the community and really create these new spaces that now that we have families here, let's show you what you can do in your backyard. That's the urban home garden that we created. And so we've gotten to a point where this was just the next logical step was, okay, we're there. We feel big time now. We get to do the glass house. So we're all really excited to be able to have this and be able to share it with our community.
So much of the education that happens in the gardens is experiential, and it's really making real world connections for families, for communities, for students. Do you offer field trip programming?
We do, yeah. So the garden serves around 40,000 students a year with Wow. our educational program. So we're one of the top in the country for our size of garden. And we've been doing these programs for over 30 years. And a lot of the same schools come back year after year for programming. We always try and add new things. We've recently expanded our reach of high school and middle school, being able to show career programming. So, you know, there's a lot of different careers within the horticultural realm, including the tropical plant house that we'll be able to show what types of careers can you have in a garden. You know, like I said, for me, it's really the only job I've ever had, and it's a super fun place. And, you know, I'll probably be there until I'm not, you know, so but to be able to show, you know, you don't have to know everything about plants to be able to work in a place like this. You know, there are people that maintain the plant house and the functionality of that space. But all of these different programs from the high school all the way down to babies, we do our Caterpillar Club, which is our Mommy and Me program. And that's really to be able to introduce the kids to nature and get them in a way that they feel comfortable being outside and touching the plants and touching the dirt. And so our Caterpillar Club kids this year, they started their first week with us. They planted radishes out in my big backyard. And now those radishes are all coming up and they can see the tops of them. So their graduation is next week and they're going to get to have their own little salad party. Stop. And they're going to pick their radishes and they're going to get to make their own little salad. So that's a program that we've done for years. And again, it's just introducing kids to nature and to all the different things that it provides for us. And then being able to take that and then rolling them into the school age where, okay, now we're going to learn about all the different things that plants do and how they do it. So from plant structure and function to the products that they provide for us, we even go into multicultural studies with our World of Plants. So that's one of our biggest programs that we offer every year. That's kind of geared to the second through fourth grade level. And they get a passport and we tell them they get to travel around the world right here in Memphis. And they go around and they learn all the different ways that people in different areas use plants in their daily lives. So they'll go to Europe and they learn about all the plants it takes to make pasta sauce. And then they get to taste the pasta sauce. And then they'll learn about French perfume and they make a perfume sachet. So, and they get their passport stamped by our little tour guides as they go around to all these stations. So it's really bringing all of these different experiences to the kids in a fun way, but a way that connects back to something that they're familiar with at the same time.
Yeah, absolutely. Our education and events team do a fantastic job of making sure education is, you know, at the forefront of almost everything we do, including, you know, drop-in activities like flower tots. That's a story time you can drop into. But even when we're looking at our adult programming, Yes, we have horticulture classes. Yes, we have painting classes, but we also have cocktail events. And those cocktail events also have education at the backbone. We're not just having you out to have a drink at the garden, which is great.
Yeah, which we also enjoy.
Yeah, everyone enjoys. But we want to make sure that you're also coming and you're learning a little bit about what botanicals are going into this cocktail. You know, can we have a cocktail that's themed for a garden and host the event in that garden? And those are ways that the education team really does a really fantastic job of making sure that our mission is at the heart of everything we do.
What has the response been? I mean, we're sitting here this sounds so precious, like our salad, you know, radish salad graduation for little ones. And then like knowing the different herbs and things that go into drinks for cocktail parties and things like that. But what has the response been? What do people say to y'all? I mean, I can only imagine what I feel like when I go to the gardens. But there's obviously you're building on what the community needs, to your point about why My Big Backyard was even created and how funding from that then can help fund the future of the education department. What are some of your favorite kind of responses that y'all have seen?
Well, I know we have, like I said, we have a lot of people that have been coming for generations now. So to be able to have those moments with those families, the families that you recognize, you know, the garden is big, but it kind of feels small. It does feel like a family. So when you see a lot of the same visitors, we have a group of ladies that come and walk every single morning. And so we all get to start our morning with these little happy faces, just taking a walk through the garden. But, you know, to see all the people enjoying the new parts that we've added, and we do have people that have been coming for so long, and just to be able to see all of these new additions to the space, and, you know, I think, like I said, just being able to, hopefully they understand that we're doing something that we hope that they will be able to enjoy, and then generations to come will be able to enjoy.
We've also had anecdotally, you know, we'll have, you know, a couple come to an event and, you know, a partner by like, well, my wife dragged me here, but I had no idea I was going to have so much fun. Like, I had no idea this existed here. And so you do see that kind of anecdotal evidence of people have this idea of what a botanic garden is and what a botanic garden offers. And the reality is, yeah, we are a botanic garden. And yeah, we do have some really great flowers and displays. And that's at the heart of what we do. But we also have a lot of other really cool, fun, unexpected things going on.
Related to folks coming in and kind of you're having these moments of perception changes, how can the community better advocate for you, support you? Can people volunteer with you? How can we be good friends of Memphis Botanic Garden?
Yeah, we have a really strong volunteer program. And, you know, it's everything from tram drivers, you know, coming over to be the tour guides for our tram tours, our plant sale volunteers. You know, we just had our plant sale. It takes countless number of volunteer hours to make that happen. Helping out with education programs. We have a lot of volunteers that are retired teachers that like to come over and volunteer their time to be able to work with the school groups on programs like that. And then even just weeding in the garden, we have a lot of dedicated volunteers that are out there helping every day. A lot of times they'll kind of choose their favorite garden, their favorite space, and they kind of become a part of that gardener's team. Most of our gardens have a dedicated gardener that is dedicated to that space. And so it kind of becomes this little family relationship where they get to come in and they become a part of that garden. So volunteerism is a huge part of what keeps us going.
Yeah, absolutely. And beyond volunteering, you know, we would love everyone to become a member. You get a lot of benefits from them, but one of it, which is free daily admission every day. So you could come every day and not pay. And so that's one way to definitely support the garden. Another way is definitely through, we see through corporate partnerships. And that's everything from, hey, I want to bring my entire team to spend the day in the garden and help out, to more of the event sponsorships and things like that.
The event and our special traveling exhibits, those types of things, those all happen through those sponsorships and those partnerships. So those are critical to keeping the garden going. And, you know, you mentioned before live at the garden and our rental spaces. Sometimes people come and they only come to live at the garden and they've never seen past the Radiance Amphitheater area. They've seen lots of amazing concerts in that space. But, you know, come back and visit the rest of the garden, see the garden. And to Olivia's point with the membership, we are also a reciprocal membership. So what that means is when you're traveling and you're going on your vacations this summer and you're traveling around, your membership card will also get you in to a lot of botanic gardens around the country. In fact, most botanic gardens around the country are part of the reciprocal membership program. So it's admission to other gardens as you're traveling.
That's so exciting. I feel like that's something that's not touted enough, particularly in like the yin yang of the traveling exhibits. Yeah. So when exhibits come here to us, that's a tremendous asset. But also we can travel to other botanic gardens and go see those as well.
Yeah. And even with the memberships, you know, we do want to make sure that we're accessible to everyone. Our admission fee is really low, but we also have a special membership program that is for anyone that's on WIC, the state funding. You can bring in the information for that and get a free year-long membership to the garden that's exactly like everybody else's membership. The card doesn't look different. Nothing's different about it. It's still a reciprocal membership card. So for people who maybe would like to be able to access the garden, but that's not within their means to be able to do so, come in, give us that information. You get signed up, you get your year membership card, and you get to come just like everyone else, you know, whenever you wanted to come.
I love that. Speaking about the reciprocal membership, I'm curious where Memphis Botanic Gardens kind of sits in the grand scheme of other botanic gardens. Are we larger, smaller? Where are others even located around us? Is this something that most cities our size have?
Yeah, I think most cities, a lot of cities our size have those. I guess the closest garden beyond ours is going to be Cheekwood in Nashville. Of course, you know, we've got the Dixon right next door, which is also a garden, but, you know, their art museum as well. So they're a little bit different. We share friends a lot with the Dixon. You see a lot of people coming over to the garden with the Dixon sticker.
That's fun. Well, so I went to college in Birmingham, and I knew that Birmingham had a botanic gardens, but we also had a zoo. And so my friends and I were always joking about, like, which one was better. And I was like, I guarantee you Memphis's is better in every regard. And they were like, we have a such and such animal. And I was like, well, we have this and this and this. We have these flowers. I was like, yeah, Memphis's is just top notch.
And I love that you called out that you kind of, you know, anecdotally share members with the Dixon. And I think we talk about a lot in our conversations on this show about the collaboration that happens, that we're so primed to think of other amenities as competitors. And so that's really heartwarming to hear that you all think of each other's as kind of partners in crime, so to speak. In thinking of collaboration in the work that you do day to day with other entities in the city, besides corporate partnerships, like, what does collaboration look like? What collaboration goes in behind the scenes to make the garden possible?
Well, I think for a lot of our events and things that we have going on, there's always, you know, reaching out to different community members. Our last exhibit that we had was our rich soil exhibit, and it was a beautiful exhibit that kind of explored ancestry. And so we partnered with Collage Dance Collective, and who created a ballet that they did kind of as part of the exhibit. One of the collections in the exhibit was based on Alvin Ailey's dance. And so they did a ballet around this exhibit. It was one of the most beautiful things I've ever seen in my life. It was stunning. We partnered with Casa Teatro, who also did programming. So we're always trying to reach out and connect with the community. The Memphis Symphony Orchestra has done programs with us. We have a lot of, you know, small community partners. We have our food trucks that come out and do our Saturdays during the spring, our spring blooms, and then also our food truck parties. A lot of our local bands that come out and do those type of programs. We're working with the University of Memphis right now to be able to create a program for our Arboretum that's based on the genes gosh, it's even more than I understand.
Fancy genetic something.
Fancy genetic plant genetics stuff. And that's why the University of Memphis is our partner.
And for anyone who may not be familiar, can you explain what an arboretum is and why that's so significant to be able to have that designation for plants?
Yeah, so that's our collection of trees. And actually, it was planted. It was one of our earliest gardens that was planted at the garden. And so it's a collection of different trees. And depending on how many varieties of trees you have within your area, so it's not just that one space. We are an arboretum throughout our 96 acres because of the number of different types of trees that we have within that collection. But we are the center of excellence, and we're a level four arboretum because of the number of trees we have in our collection.
Thank you for clarifying that. I know there are arboretums in other parts of the city because you don't have to be a designated garden to have that. But wanted to call that out, that is also another learning opportunity to learn about the species that are in our community.
Yeah, and we do provide that as a resource. A lot of the different arboretums in town reach out to us. We help them with their tree identification, making the labels for the arboretum. The labels have to be made a specific way for it to be approved to be able to call yourself an arboretum. So, we partner with organizations all over town for that as well.
As a parent, can I also just say that the way that the education, to your point, Jenna, is infused into kind of every aspect of Memphis Botanic Gardens is so appreciative, because there are placards that tell, the species and things like that. But then there's also just buckets of sticks and buckets of pine cones and buckets of, dirt, which who would have thunk, well, be an hour there with the dirt with my child. But that type of thing is not something you can always find in such an urban environment. And that level of access for children to be very hands-on and play, and frankly, adults too. So it's for all ages to be able to be out and about in a safe space, to enjoy, to have the information readily accessible at your fingertips, is something that I think most Memphians don't understand what a tremendous benefit that is.
Yeah, I can't tell you how many parents you see in the dirt pile. And who would have thought? Our director gave us a really funny look when we said we want to create a dirt pile. And he looked at us like we were crazy. And now it's one of the most popular spaces in Big Backyard is this giant dirt pile. And I think a lot of that is, we all know technology, phones, pads, everything else. That's kind of where we see a lot of kids with their face down in that. And when they're given that opportunity to just use their imagination and explore, it's so fun to be walking through or by Big Backyard. The little voices and conversations you hear. And the other day, there was this little boy running by me. He saw the castle from far away in Big Backyard. And he got so excited. He was like, "It's a castle." And he got over there and he was like, "It's the sword and the stone. I can get it out." And I mean, it's just watching the kids be able to just be free and play like kids is so fun to see on a daily basis. So if you're ever having a bad day at the garden, when we're inside in our offices working away, trying to make all these things happen, you just got to step outside for a little while and just not only the beauty of the garden, but the little voices and the people you hear talking. It's really magical.
And as a native Memphian, it's also, like you said, the generational pull of it. Like from whether I was there as a young child playing to getting my senior portraits on the Red Bridge to like anything like that. Now to be able to bring my own child back to the events, it's just that generational pull of what the gardens has to offer right in the middle of the city.
And I think to that point, a reminder that it's ever changing. It is not a one and done. You don't just go and check it off your list and say, "I went to Memphis Botanic Garden and it was beautiful." You've got to go back. Things change over the seasons because you're open year round, correct?
Yeah, we are open 12 months a year. We're actually open 362 days a year. We only close three days out of the year. And so there's a lot of opportunity, and a lot of folks, understandably, December, January, February hits, like, I don't know about that. We always have something blooming. And we also have a fantastic holiday light exhibit that happens every December.
Yeah, that one is open. We open the day after Thanksgiving, and it stays open through the end of December. So that's a fun one for us. And now that we have the tropical plant house, there's no excuse not to come. That guy's going to be warm. So people are going to be able to come over in the middle of January when it's 3 degrees, but you can go straight out and it's like you're being at the beach. So
warm up in the tropics.
Yeah, just go to our little tropical plant house and warm up.
We also have year-round programming. So even if it is a little chilly outside, you don't really want to venture to the grounds that far, we always have our workshops and we always have our classes going on. So even in January, we do offer some art classes and some horticulture classes that are inside.
I love to see it. We also had our staff retreat out there. So it's a lovely place for that, too, if you're in the market for that, dear listener.
And you mentioned art. You talked earlier about performing arts that have been in your spaces, but you also have art that rotates in your visitor center, right?
Absolutely. Yeah, we usually have 3 exhibits going on at all times. And that's everything from individual artists to some of local art groups. So Memphis Germantown Art League, Artist Link, Bartlett Art Association. And those folks come back year after year to show us what's going on, in their studio, and really share kind of what they're working on. And a lot of it does have this really wonderful natural aspect to it. And so it is like bringing a little bit of outside inside. And we think that's super exciting.
What can attendees expect from this Friday's big ribbon cutting for the Tropical Plant House?
We hope everyone is just wowed and blown away. We're all really excited about it. You know, I think it's been a dream for a lot of us for so long to finally get to see this open up and to see this space. And just imagine the possibilities. There's a great classroom. I think Olivia was talking about that earlier. The classroom that's right outside of the glass house, and then also a patio with seating. So you can come over. We have a little restaurant there at the garden, Fratelli's. Grab a lunch, take it outside, sit on the patio, and be able to kind of just peek into the glass house while you're having your lunch. So yeah, we're very excited about everybody getting to come and see this grand opening.
Aside from the grand opening, what's on the horizon for your organization and for the gardens in the next year?
Well, we'll be getting a new executive director this summer. Our fearless leader, Mike Allen, is retiring after 7 years of just amazing work. There's been so much that's been done under his leadership, and we're all so grateful for all of the hard work that he's done, but he is ready to kick back at the beach. So
I love it.
So yeah. So we'll have new leadership, and we're working towards that. And we're excited to be able to bring somebody in that can take the garden and just kind of keep us going. Like I said, Mike has done a fantastic job getting us to kind of a new level and being able to have this next person come in and just continue that on.
We're excited. Mike has joined us on the podcast before to chat about some of the things that were going on over at Memphis Botanic Gardens. So hats off to him. He definitely a well-deserved retirement.
Well-deserved.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So we also have our Parade of Color, which is, you know, Olivia talked about the art that's inside the garden. Our gardeners also have kind of created art out of these new planting beds. It's going to be just color abounding throughout this space outside. So that's something new for this next season.
Yeah, it's going to be absolutely stunning. Think bands of color, but also pollinator-friendly plants. So it's going to be attracting those, you know, essential pollinators, our bees and butterflies and all sorts of stuff. But it will be a great photo op. You know, I'm imagining in my head, you know, bride standing in front of it, posing. But it's just going to be a wonderful addition this summer that you can really enjoy all the way through November because of how our weather works. And it's just steps from our visitor center.
I love it.
It's so exciting.
Oh, I love all the things.
So we've talked about education kind of at every level and programming and workshops, and there's always something going on at the gardens. You have educational opportunities for adults, which I do want to make sure we don't forget to ask about that. But I am curious about your PAL hours. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah. So we were talking about all the different things there are to see in Big Backyard and the things there are to do. There's a lot of different educational opportunities that having someone there to kind of introduce those to kids is something that we really have been wanting to do for quite a while now. So we have a new volunteer program called PALS. It's a play and learn volunteer that'll be in the garden. They're wearing pink aprons. And when you see a PAL out in the garden, they'll have an activity engagement. So maybe it's something about learning all the different smells, like why do flowers smell? Why is that important? And talking about the pollinators and then getting to smell the different scents that the flowers have. You know, why are there rings on trees? And they'll be able to show the kids can explore that and create their own tree ring to show, you know, what happens each year in their life. So it's going to just be a really fun way for families to be able to engage a little bit. And then maybe once you've learned that little piece, you can take that with you through the garden. And as they're going around, if they see some new flowers, they're going to smell it and understand, you know, why that smell is there and why it's special.
I love that we've chatted so much about the children, but now I'm jealous and I want to know what programming there is for adults, because don't tempt me with going over to a pink apron pal and asking about the tree rings.
You know,
because
what?
It might be for me.
We will educate any age. So feel free to visit the pal, even if you don't have children with you. It's funny. We see a lot of adults without children exploring Big Backyard.
Yes. So,
myself included.
Yeah.
I'm usually the first one in line to do the craft at an event.
Oh, yeah.
Right. She is. Like elbowing the children on them.
Well, we worked with over 30 local Memphis artists when we built Big Backyard. So there's a lot of interesting art elements throughout it as well. So we do encourage people without kids to go in there and explore. There's a lot of different fun ways, but we do have a lot of educational programs. We have a new adult education manager, and she is really working to build in some new programming. Planting parties that kind of are centered around the tropical plant house. So being able to plant your own little tropical glass house for yourself. Those type of programs. We've got programs on just basic gardening. So if you want to learn how to start seeds, you can learn how to start seeds at our programs. If you want the basics of a vegetable garden, you can work with our urban home gardener and learn those. What else, Olivia?
The variety of classes and workshops offered is just kind of astounding. Everything from those art classes, but also just nature-inspired classes. One thing that I would like to say is if you have a topic that you want to learn more about and you think that's something we could offer, please reach out. Tell us. Tell us your ideas. Tell us what might interest you. Because at the end of the day, we do want to serve you. We want to serve the interests of our community.
Yeah, and one of the things people kind of reached out about was flower arranging. So we have a new program that we'll be starting. It's Flower Happy Hour. And so those are going to be once a month starting in May. And we'll be working with local florists. So we have different florists coming. John Mark Sharp is going to be doing one. We've got Kevin from LaFleur who's going to be doing one. Maine Wilding and Midtown Bramble and Bloom. So those are going to be our four florists. Each week is a different florist, and it's kind of a different lean on a different idea. So like John Mark Sharp is going to be showing you, if you want to just go to the grocery store and buy some flowers, how can you make that look spectacular? And if you've ever seen his work, it is spectacular. So, you know, being able to show people how to do that. So those are programs that, and that's kind of a bring your friends, bring a date, bring your own cocktail and have your own little flower happy hour there at the garden.
That's so fun and exciting. I'm loving this. And now I want to try my hand. I feel like I used to say, what is it? If you have a green thumb, you can make things grow. I used to say I had a brown thumb because everything I planted died. So perhaps I need to be.
Look, like, these are cut flowers.
Okay. Yes.
So look, it's
someone
already
else done. Can grow them.
Yeah. You can arrange them. And then I'll just start coming for all the basics, the 101s, the seeds, the everything, the how to have my urban garden.
We'll
just start with one plant at a time.
Where can folks get information about workshops or just learn about the garden in general?
Yeah, the best place to go would be our website, which is membg.org, but also follow us on social media. We're constantly posting on Facebook and Instagram, both about what's happening at the garden and just like what's blooming, exciting projects. And you can learn about kind of what's coming up. Also, subscribe to our emails. You know, we send out monthly emails about everything that's happening in a given month. And yeah, don't please stop by, reach out, you know, come on out. Even if it's your first time or it's your thousandth time, we would love to have you out and would love to hear from you.
So this is one of the fun parts, the extra kind of icing on the cake fun part. This is our lightning round. So this is just the first thing that you think of. Favorite event at Memphis Botanic Garden, Olivia?
Holiday Worms at the Garden.
Okay. Mm. Jenna?
Traveling exhibits? Do I have to be specific?
No. We'll accept your answer.
Double points for being specific?
Yes. Double points. You can be. Must see at MBG. So something that everyone who goes has to stop by and see.
Woodland.
Pollinator garden.
Ooh. Best season to stop by.
Any season.
I also want to say year round.
Spring.
Spring.
But any season also.
But any season.
But spring. If you did not work there and you could spend an afternoon there, what would you do?
Oh, wow. I don't know how to not work there.
That's
all I've ever done.
I love it. Okay, so what do you do there when you're off the clock?
I worked in my garden. I go to track meets and watch my kids run.
And plant your own garden.
And work in my garden. Yeah. I just like being outside.
I love it. It's a good answer. But we'll take it. We'll accept it.
I would wander around the Japanese garden. Always a hit year round. And then I would stop by the kind of secret swings out by the Delta garden that are in the trees. And then I would probably swing around and go visit the fountain in Four Seasons.
Pro tips.
I know, pro tips. I love it. Thank you all so much for taking time to be with us today and share about the Tropical Plant House, all of the educational opportunities, and just feel like we barely scratched the surface of what MBG has to offer. So if you've not been in the last week, you probably missed something, listener, and maybe
changes daily.
Yes,
it does.
Head out to Memphis Botanic Gardens. Thank y'all so much for stopping to share about all the accessibility points. I think that's something that a lot of people aren't super aware of. So I loved the reciprocal membership. I love the accessible points. And we really appreciate all the information.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah, thank you for having us.
Independent Bank is celebrating 25 years of sharing your stories, building your dreams, and serving you heroically. Find out how iBank can help you achieve your financial dreams at i-bankonline.com. Member FDIC.